direction over to the gym if you have young children and preschool down through up through, I think, fifth grade, so they can get ready and head that way. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians. Those lights will come back on in a second. I don't know what it is, but don't worry, and we won't leave you in the dark. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we converted the whole church facility over to LED lighting. The only thing that is yet to do is the sanctuary. And the company that retrofit the whole building to LED lighting could not retrofit these lightings in here in the sanctuary. So that's got to be still yet be done. But I walked in the sanctuary this week, and our maintenance guy, Paul, was on the top of the ladder hanging out up there by the roof. And but I felt he was in good hands because he had Frank Barrett and Michael at the bottom holding him up. So they didn't let him fall. But anyway, now that you got light, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we preached last Sunday a message on spiritual gifts and taking our text from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what the Bible has to say about spiritual gifts. I listened to this promotion on Faith Bible Institute, and I think it's tremendous. That class, and we'll say more about that, is getting ready to register for the upcoming January session, and so Devin and Angie Grant head that up. And so if you're interested, Devin and Angie, why don't you stand back there, will you? And if you will, right after the service, and they'll be around. So if you have questions about the upcoming semester in January, see Devin and Angie. They'll answer your questions, and thank you very much. And that, but they're getting ready, and registrations are starting for the next semester in January, which leads us right into that, you know, studying the Bible should be meant for the purpose of what are you going to do after you learn what it is that you learn. Well, hopefully you put it into application, and that's really what the Bible is really all about, is we learn and study the Bible, and then we begin to apply what we've learned. That's what we should all be doing. If you read something in the Scripture, what does that mean to me? And life application is how does that benefit me in my life, and what can I do to change or to use that in the course of my Christianity? And so when you look in the Bible here, it gives us spiritual gifts. And, you know, God put a plan in place to be able to allow the church body to operate and to function. And one of the ways that he does that is spiritual gifts, by gifting the church. And we spent a lot of time last Sunday in 1 Corinthians 12 on understanding the chapter on the Holy Spirit of God is who gifts the believer and gives to the believer gifts within the body. Not all parts of the body are the same. You have the eye, you have the hand, you have the foot, everything. There's different moving parts within the body of Christ, and yet all connected, and yet all important. So today I titled the message, Spiritual Gifts Part 2. I want to drill down a little bit farther to zero in to help you say, well, how do I know what my spiritual gift is, and what gift is there, and how do I apply that, and how do I use that in the church? I want to take one refresher verse here, if you will, 1 Corinthians 12, and found in verse 7. Which Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 12, 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the manifestation of the Spirit, gifts are given by the Holy Spirit of God to the church, to the believer, to you and I, and that we can then be a blessing, a help, and a benefit to the entire body. God gives spiritual gifts to believers for the purpose of the ministry within the church. You know, it's more about, Christianity is more about than just coming to church and taking in a worship service for an hour, hour and a half, and then we leave and we go about work and we live our life, and then we come back the next Sunday. God has a plan and purpose that the church is to be an active part of everyday living of how we use our gifts and how he has gifted the church body. So spiritual gifts are given to believers by the Holy Spirit. And so what we want to look at here is these different kind of gifts today and how they can be used within the body. Look in verse 11, chapter 12. It says, but all these worketh that one, 1 Corinthians 12, 11, and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. So the Holy Spirit here takes the gifts that we're going to give you and we're going to talk about today, and He gifts the church. He gifts the believers. He allows and places those in the church. Verse 28, look at it. He says, God has set some in the church. 1 Corinthians 12:28. First apostles that Christ chose. These are witnesses of the resurrected Christ. Secondarily, prophets are those that would be, there were prophets that foretold the future, but prophets and prophecy is also preaching or proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And so God put in the church apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and then after that, miracles, and then gifts of healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets in verse 29? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? He says here, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So we find here that He puts in the church these different positions. There are no apostles today. Apostles were only in the first century, chosen by Christ, witnesses of the resurrected Christ. There are prophets. There are prophets in the Old Testament, and prophecy and proclaiming and preaching the gospel in the New Testament. We do not have prophets today, and reason why is you have the completed Word of God, the inspired, verbally inspired Word of God that is completed and full and divine revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's no reason to have, if you ever hear somebody say today there's a new prophet on the scene, don't believe it. God gave His prophets during the time. And all the prophets in the Old Testament, all the foretelling, the Jeremiahs, the Ezekiels, the Daniels, all those in the Old Testament, was all proclaiming and giving us a message of Christ to come, the Messiah to come, the Savior to come. So the Bible is a Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ. So prophets and teachers and miracles and healings and helps and governments and tongues, we'll get into some of these here this morning. But look, go over to 1 Peter. Let me show you in your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to give you a few different things here in Scripture today for you to follow along. We'll be in a little bit over in the book of Romans. But 1 Peter chapter 4, notice what he says in verse 10. He said, as every man hath received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You have been gifted as a believer. The Holy Spirit has gifted you as a believer. And so you are to use that gift in the work of the Lord to benefit the body of Christ. And so we find here, by doing so, we become good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. And 1 Corinthians 12. And so we find the purpose of these spiritual gifts are given in verse 4. Verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7, it said, now, 1 Corinthians 12, 4, there are diversities of gifts, I mean different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, one Holy Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, that's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. You have in your life the ability and have the relationship as a believer to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. You are baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ at salvation. So then what the Holy Spirit comes along and does is He gifts you, He enables you to have a gift or an ability and sometimes multiple gifts that you can use in the Lord's work. Look here, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And right there, and skip down to verse 12, it says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 14:12, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So notice right there, these gifts that are given have a purpose and a motive, and it's to edify the church, to edify the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ. So that is why we need Christians and believers to understand their gift and how God has gifted you and to use that gift, because it builds the body, it builds the believers, it builds what the framework of what God has put in place. And so it is so absolutely important to understand. Now I realize you're jumping back and forth here a little bit, but I want you to see this. Let's go back to 1 Peter 4. It's a good way to know where your books are, your Bible. I guess that's why early in Christianity, to learn the books of the Bible, save you a little bit of time and worship services. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, and then but then verse 11 said, we read verse 10 a moment ago, verse 11, but if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So the gifts in the body of Christ that he has gifted to the believer in the framework of the body of Christ is for the honor and glory of building up the body of Christ. And that, so we find there's a provision given and that we read and we looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 on the provisions given by the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you over in Romans. Go back to Romans, if you will, chapter 12. Because Paul addresses this in the book of Romans. He also addresses it in Corinthians. He also addresses gifts over in 1 Peter 4. You get to Romans chapter 12. And you get down to verse 6, 7, and 8, really back up in verse 3, Romans 12, 3. Paul said, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then," here it is now, "having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Now, what I want to do this morning is drill down a little bit deeper and take a look. There are some, what is called some temporary gifts that were given in the first century as the beginning of the church, to launch the church, and during the time of the apostles. And there's basically three gifts. Well, really, you could tie a fourth one into that, but these are called temporary gifts. They were given for a temporary time during the first century for the establishment of the church, for the proclamation of the gospel. So the gospel, you got to keep in mind, the gospel started with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the message went from Jerusalem outward from there, and they used gifts in that first century. They gifted. God gifted the apostles. God gifted those during the time to be able to get the gospel out. And so we find that the first one, we know here the Holy Spirit gave these temporary gifts to confirm the testimony of the apostles and the prophets from the Old Testament. And these gifts were prevalent in the early church, but they ceased after the first century to be evident as the church became established. Now let me just say clearly today, who established the church? Jesus Christ is the founder of the church. In Sunday school today, we were in a lesson on the announcing of John the Baptist, and Zacharias and Elizabeth wanted children, but in their old age, they were not able to have children. And but the Holy Spirit came down and revealed to Zacharias that they would be found with child. Zacharias was a priest in the temple burning incense, and so you know, he really didn't believe that. He doubted a little bit, but God the Holy Spirit gifted Zacharias and Elizabeth with a child in their old age. He's known in the Bible as John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the announcing of Christ. There's a lot of things that God did in the first century to establish Christianity, to put it on a solid footing, on a solid rock, and to propagate the gospel and to get it out from Jerusalem to Asia Minor and around the world. It was under the world at that time, was under the rule of the Roman Empire. And so God established gifts. And here's the first one, let me share with you, is that were a temporary gift used in the first century that no longer applies as a permanent gift today, and that's the gift of miracles. By that meaning, this gift was the ability to do wonders and signs. the ability to do something supernatural. And Christ performed many miracles in his earthly ministry. Why did he do that? To establish his deity, to establish that he was God in the flesh, to establish the power of God in establishing Christianity. We also know that there are many miracles that were done by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, or John, or others that were the apostles. They were given a temporary sign gift in the first century of miracles to be able to perform certain miracles. Why? To establish Christianity, to establish the deity of Christ, to establish the church, and to get it started. And so we find miracles was a temporary sign gift given today. And so Christ performed many of the miracles as recorded in the Bible. And then Paul used that gift to affirm his apostleship. You say, well, are there not miracles today? Yes, God can perform a miracle today anytime he chooses to do so. But it's not the gift of miracles given to the apostles, given to men at that time to propagate the gospel to establish. Miracles were always done to show that God is God and God is on the throne and God is all powerful and the gospel is going out and people were being saved by the miracles. Remember that? Jesus met the woman at the well. And, he said, and she repented and go and sin no more. And it continued to do miracle after miracle after miracle, turn the water into wine. You go all the way back through. The apostles did miracles during that time. Today, we as men, we have the final revelation of God today, do not have the power to perform miracle. God does and still can and does miracles today. But it's a divine, supernatural power if God so chooses to do miracles. It is not a gift active in the church of Jesus Christ today. Secondly is the gift of healing. Go over to Acts chapter 3. Now Peter had the gift of healing. And by that, Peter had this gift, and as an apostle, that he had the gift that he could heal. In Acts chapter 3, notice in verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, and then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. So you find this was the first apostolic miracle that was done right here. The lame man was healed. Peter had that gift. Chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, verse 15 and verse 16 says, "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." That was a gift. That was a temporary sign gift given in the first century to establish Christianity, establish the church, and Peter had the power, the gift to be able to heal, rise up, and it would heal people and they could rise up and walk. So you have a temporary sign gift of miracles, you have a temporary sign gift of healing, and then thirdly, you have this sign gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Go over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This gift is manifested by the speaking of a language unknown to the speaker. So when you look here in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, it says in Acts 2 and verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Verse 2. "Suddenly there came around a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." Speaking in tongues was always used in a language so that somebody else could hear the gospel, and tongues was always used so somebody else could be saved and come to a saving knowledge of God, and they had to have an interpreter in that. It says in verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, and Perga, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and then strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Tongues was always used as in a language to be able to propagate the gospel so that others could hear the gospel and be saved, and you had to have the gift of interpretation to be able to do that. I'll go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So today, oftentimes if you run into somebody who says, well, they have the gift of tongues, and that tongues was a sign gift used in the first century to propagate the gospel, establish the church. And tongues is not a gift given today. There's a lot of false doctrine on this today. I know there are churches out there that supposedly practice, quote-unquote, speaking in tongues. That is not based in the Bible, based on biblical interpretation of what tongues is. It says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Notice in verse 27 and verse 28, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So tongues always required an interpreter. Tongues was always about getting the gospel to a lost person. Tongues was always used to propagate the gospel, and so others could hear the gospel in their language. So those three gifts, miracles, healing, and tongues with the interpretation of tongues, were temporary sign gifts used in the first century, no longer applicable today in the church age. What is applicable today are these. The Holy Spirit gave gifts for the building up of the church, and these were prevalent in the early church, and they're still active in the church today. Let me give them to you real quickly. Number one is prophecy. Prophecy is still a gift used today. Prophecy, to prophesy is to preach or to tell forth or to declare the Bible. Prophecy does not necessarily mean today to foretell the future. You have the completed divine revelation of the Word of God. But prophecy is still used today. Proclaiming, putting forth the Scripture to proclaim the Word of God, prophecy is still a gift used today to build the church. Secondly, teaching. Teaching. This gift is the ability to teach the Word of God and then help hearers to understand the Scriptures as the author intended. If you don't like reading, you probably wouldn't enjoy being a teacher. If you don't like studying, you probably wouldn't enjoy being a teacher. If you don't like digging down and digging out biblical truth, you probably wouldn't enjoy. You know, my first experience, I never was when I got to Bible college at Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. I was walking down the aisle one day, and Mrs. Williams come up to me, and she said, are you one of those seminary students out at the college? I said, yes, ma'am. And she goes, good. We need a junior high boys teacher for grades 4, 5, and 6, so be in teachers meeting next week, and you start teaching in 2 weeks. I said, oh, no. I said, not me. And she goes, oh, yeah, you. And she turned around and walked off. And that's how I got hoodwinked into being a teacher. I was going to teachers' meeting. I was scared to death. My first Sunday school class was grades 4, 5, and 6 of junior boys. And it was one of the blessings, the most fun times that I ever had in my life was teaching those junior boys. So teaching is a gift. The gift is the ability to teach the Word of God and help hearers to understand the Bible of the Word of God. Here's the third gift that's still applicable in the church today. That is the gift of faith. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith. This gift is a consistent, enabling faith that truly believes God in the face of overwhelming obstacles and overwhelming human impossibilities for God to do great and mighty things. Every once in a while you come along. Now, all of us have an element of faith. But every once in a while, there'll come a believer that against great human odds and great obstacles in life has such a great deep-seated faith that they take that to God, and the power of answered prayer through faith comes. That's a gift that God has given. I've already shared with you. I've met a few people in life. Dr. Jerry Falwell was one of the men that I knew personally in life that had overwhelming obstacles, overwhelming things, became a tremendous man of faith to overcome these obstacles. I really believe God gave to him that one of the gifts that he had was that gift of faith. Here's number four, the gift of wisdom. Now, wisdom, this is the ability to apply wisdom gained from spiritual insight to believers. James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, we're to seek God, and he will grant you and I wisdom beyond that. Wisdom is knowing what is right and what is wrong. Wisdom is applying knowledge and taking the Word of God. And so wisdom, there's a difference between wisdom and not. You can have knowledge and still not have wisdom. But take the knowledge that you have and applying that and using that. Wisdom is a gift. It's the ability to apply that wisdom gained from spiritual insight given that by the Holy Spirit to believers. Here's number five. Knowledge. Knowledge is the understanding of the facts of Scripture. Many of you sitting in here today have the gift of knowledge. You can quote verses. You know where to go in the Bible. You've been well grounded. You've read. You've studied. You have the gift of knowledge. And from a human perspective, it is a scholarship or the ability to know the truth of Scripture, and both broadly and both deeply. Let me just share with you. Our ladies Bible study, they're going to meet on Tuesday. They're going to wrap up this fall semester, and Shirley Schneck has done a great job, and this will be, I think, their party this week and bring it all to a close. And Joyce, why don't you stand right over here, will you? This is Joyce Merch, and Joyce, give her a hand. She's going to take over teaching the ladies Bible study. But her husband, Mason, when Mason was here, was one of our deacons, and I enjoyed thoroughly talking to Mason, because I really believe that Mason had the gift of knowledge. He read, he studied, he dug, he challenged you, he made you think. So knowledge, that gift by the Holy Spirit, it is an understanding of the facts of Scripture. And from a human perspective, it's the scholarship or the ability to know the truth of Scripture, both broadly and then deeply, the Word of God. Here's number six, discernment. Many of you in here have the gift of discernment. Discernment is the ability to tell that which things are from the Holy Spirit of God and which are not from the Holy Spirit of God. Some of you have great discernment. And as the discernment is the ability to tell which things are from the Spirit of God and which are not. Distinguish, and why that is so important is to help you and I distinguish what is truth and what is error. Not everybody has discernment. Many will be gullible and sucked into false teaching or false prophecy or false whatever being led. The gift of discernment helps to identify what is truth. And so discernment, this gift is really given for the protection of the church and the church body. There needs to be people in the church body that has the gift of discernment. Number seven, mercy. The gift of mercy. This is the ability to show a deep compassion to those who have spiritual, physical, or emotional needs in life. And perhaps you are the one of people, I know some in our congregation have the gift of mercy. If you have the gift of mercy, it's that ability to show a deep compassion for those who have a spiritual or physical or emotional needs, and your desire is to help them in life. You show that gift of mercy. Number eight, exhortation. Exhortation is the ability to encourage, to motivate. You ever been around somebody that just, when you left, you just felt better being around them? They have a way to encourage. They have a way to build up. They have a way to elevate. They have a way to exhort. That is a gift given in the body of Christ that needs to be exercised by certain people in the body. By that meaning, exhortation. Exhortation is the ability to encourage. It's the ability to motivate. A person with this gift can come alongside another and then comfort them in love and encourage them to a deeper spiritual commitment or growth, or to exhort them in the body of Christ. Number nine. Giving. Giving is a gift. This gift is a direct reference to the material ministry of giving maybe food or clothes or money or houses in response to the needs of the poor or the needs of the ministry. There are people that have the gift of giving. and want to exercise that gift. They may never stand and teach a lesson, they may never preach a sermon, but they have been gifted with the ability to give and to be able to have a compassion to help others in a material sense of maybe food, clothes, shelter, whatever in life. Here's number 10. Administration or leadership is a gift. This gift is the ability to oversee a flock given to pastors. And most pastors will have this gift of administration or leadership. This gift should be exhibited by pastors or elders or deacons, as well as missionaries or youth ministers or those along the way. It comes in a leadership role. And it's gifted by the Holy Spirit of God to those that serve in those areas of administration, and to be able to see the big picture, to be able to manage the small pieces, to be able to put that together. It's a leadership given by the Holy Spirit of God. Let me give you two more. One is helps. This is number 11. Helps, H-E-L-P-S, helps. This gift is the ability to aid in a time of need and to bear one another's. I see this on display in our congregation all the time. The gift of helps. The gift is the ability to aid in a time of need or to bear one another's burdens as a situation arises. And you can carry out that gift, the gift of helps. And number 12 is service. Service is the gift of service, is working for the body of Christ in areas of physical ministry, such as serving food or performing maintenance or whatever. There's many that work in that area of the ministry. So not everybody does the same thing. Not everybody is gifted in the same way. Not everybody you should desire these gifts, but the Holy Spirit of God is the one that will gift you, will lead you, and will direct you and how to utilize your gifts. So the exercise of these spiritual gifts, there's many different gifts as we read over in Romans. Prophecy and faith and ministry and teaching, exhortation, giving, administration, leadership, mercy, and that. But it's all tied together by this. Look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll close the message today. 1 Corinthians 13, it is all put together. All these gifts are bonded together by love. And it says here, though Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, the word charity here means love, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love here, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hope all things, endureth all things. Charity, love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect, Christ, is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And we have the full, completed, divine revelation, the Word of God today. That which is perfect is the Word of God. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, for now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. Love is what ties it all together. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave unseemly. Love does not seek her own. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. So Paul said it very well in Corinthians, shows us the importance of each spiritual gift in the body of Christ. Why is that so? So there's no schisms in the body, that we can be unified together, that we can be harmonious together, in one accord together. And so what causes the growth? This week we're in a staff meeting and we're trying to figure out what moves a needle and what grows a church. You know, you can have the greatest promotions and marketing things in the world, but what's going to grow the church, my friend, is what God gave to us in the Bible of finding your gift and exercising your gift and being who it is that God designed you to be and put that into action day by day. That is relational. That builds relationships. That builds networking. You want to see growth, find your gift. You want to see growth, find and utilize your gift and put that into action. What causes growth in the body of Christ is finding our spiritual gift and using that to the fullest intent that God gave to us to have. Each member of the body is commanded to minister in many gifted areas, whether he or she possesses that gift or not. All Christians are a function. All Christians are functioning, should function, with the gift of faith, wisdom, knowledge, exhortation, giving, and care one for another. But we find the Bible does not explicitly explain, well, then how do you determine your spiritual gift? Good question. How do you determine that? You know, we begin by being obedient in the areas mentioned above that I mentioned today, looking for open doors, looking for prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to show you, guide you, direct you, to lead you. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He will lead you and gift you and lead you to the gifts that He wants you to utilize in the body of Christ. Seek counsel from other Christians. Some sitting here in this church body today have been saved for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, maybe 70 years. Seek out counsel from somebody else that has been on that journey and on that path, and that they made me more aware of the gifts and to discover gifts and what areas you'd be willing. You know, I never would have signed up to be a teacher, but Mrs. Williams come along and said, "You're going to teach in 2 weeks." Other people, my point being, you might see something in somebody else that they're gifted for, and they may not see it themselves, and they need a nudge, an encouragement, a little help along the way to use your gift in the body of Christ to be all that God wants us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, today, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, Romans chapter 12, and God, for these gifts in the church. And God, we're here today for one reason, to uplift and to build up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, you saved us to serve. You brought us to Christ that we could understand the need for salvation and to be saved and become a believer. And God, now for us to be able to function correctly in the body of Christ, we need to understand and to activate and put into action our gifts. Not for self-edification, but God, to build up the body of Christ, to build up each other, to exhort each other in the faith, to be a blessing to somebody else along the way. And everybody has different gifts, and some have multiple gifts. So Holy Spirit, as we surrender all today to you, we would ask that you would motivate us today by the Spirit of God, that we would surrender to do what you've asked us to do in the Bible and utilizing our gifts for the cause of Christ. God, today, if there's one here that's not saved, they don't know you as personal Savior, that they'd open their heart and trust the Lord Jesus today and be saved today and trust Christ as their Savior. And God, Holy Spirit, today, I pray that you would just lead us to obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together, if you will, today. My friend, if you're here and if I can be of help to you, I'd love to pray with you here at the front, whether it's for salvation or you're seeking whatever spiritual gift it is that God wants you to utilize, or you just want to come to pray on your own, slip back and have a seat. You come to pray as the Holy Spirit would lead. You come today as Brother Ron leads us, if you would.
The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing I'm not afraid to
People said, amen. Thank you. Be seated just for a moment. Brother Neil's one of our deacons. Ari, why don't you turn? Did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
This is Ari. This is Neil. You know Brother Neil. This is Ari's his granddaughter. And coming this morning and desiring to ask Jesus Christ into her heart as her personal
amen.
Lord and Savior. So give her a hand today. Congratulations. God bless you. How old are you?
I'm 30.
30 years old. Young lady, and coming to make that decision today, and we prayed with her right here, walked her through the plan of salvation and the Romans Road, and she desired to ask Jesus Christ into her heart. Thank God for her grandfather that cares, got her to church here, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. We're so excited for you guys, and praise the Lord. So God bless you. And just have a seat right here. Nothing more exciting than that, than to go to church with your granddaughter and have her trust the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And so we'll be visiting with you and more, and praise God. You know, it's a great day in heaven, and Luella would be so proud. I got to get my act together. I can't. One of your other deacons may have to do these announcements. We're excited for you, Ari, to make that decision to follow the Lord. Nothing more exciting than the day you get saved and trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So pray for her as she starts on that new path and that new journey as a young lady following Christ. And we are excited that you made that decision today. Believe me, we really are. Let me just share with you, follow Faith Bible Institute. The grants will be available. If you have questions, see Devin and Angie regarding that. Operation Christmas Child, there are boxes out in the foyer. We are now having the time where you can pick up the boxes and begin filling them. They're going to have a collection week November the 15th through the 22nd. And so we'll begin collecting those boxes, so you have time to prepare that and put that together. So praise the Lord that we can be a part of that ministry this year. Ladies Bible study, y'all have fun this week and don't party too hard, but we're excited. I'm excited for Shirley Schneck and her commitment she gave. I'm excited for Joyce and the future in the ladies Bible study going forward. They will be in the book of Romans starting in January. So if you would like to be a part of that, please get a hold of Joyce, and I think she already ordered the books for ladies Bible study starting the second Tuesday at 9:15 in January. Will be in the book of Romans. The youth activity they have is that today? Next Sunday. Youth activity next Sunday. I know it got postponed till next Sunday. And then decorating for Christmas will be November 22nd, 23rd. If you want to be a part of that, there's a sign-up sheet for that out in the foyer. Please go by and sign up to help us decorate for Christmas. They'll be putting up Christmas trees and some other decorations for that. So if you would, a lot going on. Roz, why don't Ari and Brother Neil, why don't y'all head on back here? And you might want to stop at your pew there and grab your stuff. And we just want to go by and let folks give you the right hand of Christian fellowship. Let her know that smart decision, the greatest decision you ever make is the day that you get saved and trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And that's exciting to be able to, especially when you have children and grandchildren, and to be able to see them follow the Lord and get saved and follow the Lord in baptism. Next Sunday, we're going to have baptism. We're going to be baptizing too. And Joe, why don't you wave your hand back here? Joe's and Sue and their sons are going to get baptized next Sunday. We're excited to see that on the Lord's Day next Sunday. Let's stand together. Good to see you in church. And let's have prayer. And as you're dismissed, go by and let Ari know that she made a good decision and trusting Christ as her personal Lord and Savior today. And we just want to know that we're praying for her, if you would. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house today. God, we thank you for this dear young lady that just got saved and opened her heart to trust Jesus Christ, accept the gift of salvation today, greatest decision she'll ever make her entire life. And God, we thank you for a godly grandfather that just took the time to be with her today, to bring her to church and to be here with her. And what a great decision to see that family today. And Luella would be so proud to know that in heaven today. And so, God, we thank you today that we can understand and know our spiritual gifts. And may the Holy Spirit of God, God, we call upon you for the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to help us to understand our spiritual gift and what you have gifted us with. And that we would use that and be obedient in the body of Christ, that we can see the body of Christ grow together as we continue serving you until Jesus comes. In his name we pray. Amen. Good to see you in church. Have a great day.